Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Monday edition of the program. And how about this? Indiana football 4-0. They get the win on the road at Michigan State. And I tell you what, it really wasn't that big a challenge for Indiana. I had said a couple times last week that I felt like going on the road against the team that beat Michigan could be a spoiler game, with Indiana maybe focused on a potential undefeated matchup that really could decide the division and have big conference implications against Ohio State coming up this week. I thought maybe they would overlook it. Indiana doesn't. And the good news is Indiana didn't play that great at times. Yeah, they were good here and there, but not necessarily a dominating performance. Indiana cruises to the victory. Indiana continues to move up in the ratings. Rankings, Indiana continues to get better and better bowl projections, and a huge game coming up for Coach Tom Allen and this IU football program on Saturday as they will take on Ohio State. We know that Ohio State is very good. There's no question about that. What we don't know is how good Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State are, the first three opponents for this Indiana team. For Indiana, Penn State 0-4 now. Michigan State has had its struggles and got handled by Indiana on Saturday, as we saw. Michigan is really struggling. So, yes, this Indiana team's good. I don't want to take away any credit from them. But, boy, is Saturday going to really be a test to show not just if they win or lose or not, but just how far along and just how competitive this Indiana football team is. And, really, some upcoming games as well. Now that Wisconsin's back, I think they're pretty good. I think they're going to be a lot better than a Penn State, than a Michigan this year. So Indiana's going to get some challenges even after the Ohio State game. It's not like this is the only one coming up where it could be their only loss of the season or their only real test of the Big Ten this year. They've got some other big ones coming up as well. But Indiana football off to an amazing start. Hope fans are enjoying it. I know it does really stink that you can't be at the games and that you can't tailgate and enjoy things from that typical fan perspective. But Indiana football at a high. And there are good things happening, not just with the team for this year, but we mentioned the transfer coming in next season that hopes to be eligible via a waiver to play next year from Florida State. Some other recruiting things going on for Indiana football right now. And again, this program is really taking some big leaps forward, I think, for the future as well, as they have a really good season this year. Going to be fun to have the build-up this week to the Ohio State game. My early thought, I think Indiana will be competitive in the game. I'm not willing to say Indiana will win the game. I think it's proven that with as bad as some of the other big teams are, as there are many question marks maybe as there are about some of the Big Ten teams, I don't think there's any question Ohio State has a really good football program once again this year. I don't think there's any question that they are headed for the college football playoff. But I do want to say this because someone said it to me. Can you imagine if Indiana won? I think Indiana's up to number 9 in the Associated Press poll. They're 9 or 10, I think still 10 in the coaches poll this week. But what if Indiana beat Ohio State? This game likely is going to decide the conference division, the East Division championship, because you look at the records of the other teams, and unless somebody just totally caved, it's not going to happen. It's going to be Ohio State or Indiana, the winner of this game on Saturday. What if Indiana won? How high would they jump in the rankings? Would they actually enter discussion? I'm not saying that they would get there ultimately, but would they enter discussion for the college football playoff, which is crazy to think about? But that's what a win this weekend could do. Now, am I predicting that they're going to win? No. Am I predicting that they're going to make the college football playoff? No. But a win this weekend, it would get him in the conversation. There would be no way around it. They would bump up in the rankings at least a spot, if not a few spots, after the victory. They probably could surge up maybe two, three, four spots in the rankings with a win over Ohio State. So big game coming. And one thing I think you've got to feel confident, Ohio State may have more five stars, more four stars. They may have more talent. They may have the better ranking. They may be a team that's on a track for a national championship this year. Who knows? But Tom Allen, I think you've got to have confidence in him that he will have this team as ready to play as they possibly can be. And that's why ultimately I think between the talent Indiana has, the coaching staff Indiana has, you're going to get an accurate read on Saturday about where this program is at against the big-time football programs in the country like Ohio State. So fun week building up to it. We're going to talk a lot about it today. We're going to talk a lot about it this week, probably talking more IU football than I've ever talked on this program, but glad to do so as we follow this 4-0 Indiana football team. Number 9 in the AP poll, number 10 in the coaches poll. First time they beat Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State in the same season in school history. Indiana's first 4-0 start in Big Ten play since 1987. IU is now 9-2 in its last 11 Big Ten games. That's the best stretch since the Hoosiers went 9-2 from October 3rd of 87 to October 21st of 1988. So setting some big marks is this Indiana football program this year, and I'll be quite honest, it's been really fun to watch. It's made Saturdays a little bit more fun, knowing we've got Big Ten football back and Indiana's at the top of things there. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment 1, we have our Zaxby's headlines coming up, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll get to some more IU football notes. We'll talk some basketball recruiting and some local things coming up in the headlines here in just a few moments. Later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll talk some IU football, but also focus on basketball with Zach today, and that's because segment 3, we have Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, the football writer for Pigs. He's going to join us to recap the win over Michigan State on the road. And yes, we will turn the page and start to talk about this Ohio State matchup on Saturday with Matt when he joins us later in the hour today. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can get them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Couple programming notes for you this week. First off, Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, we have Night of Champions. That's the special show we do when we have a state champion here from our immediate area. Night of Champions honoring Providence Boys Soccer, the 2020 Class 1A IHSA Soccer State Champions. Great, great year for them. We've got the coaches. We've got some of the key players. It's an hour or so program where we're really going to focus in on their success and honor them for their great accomplishment. And again, I know we'll have a great audience for that. Providence community always backs their sports teams very well. And that program will air at 6 o'clock on Tuesday night here on the Big X and streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. Also, later in the week, it's Thursday night. That's the night you want to circle, basketball fans, because we have our Clark and Floyd County's high school boys basketball media day program. Normally we do it out at a restaurant. We have all the coaches and players, but we've got every coach set to join us and a few other things as well in that program on Thursday night. We'll hear from 12 coaches in Clark and Floyd counties. We're so close to the start of games for the boys basketball season as well. And so you don't want to miss the Thursday show. It's going to be in studio. It's not going to be like normal, but we're getting it done and getting, I think, a great preview as we take you across the area. And it's becoming a tradition now. We've done the show for so many years. So many people tweeting, texting, emailing in, hey, when is the preview show? We love to hear from the coaches directly right before the year. And so you're going to get it on Thursday night. It's going to come on at 6 o'clock, and it's going to be around a three-hour program on Thursday night. So plan on being with us from 6 to 9 as we take you through the boys' basketball season and what it could and should and we hope looks like. Of course, things are tightening down, it seems, a little bit with this COVID-19 numbers in our two-county area, but sure hoping that we get the season underway and that the season obviously is able to be played out. And we'll talk with the coaches about their teams coming up on Thursday night. Headlines today brought to you by Zaxby's. Bowl projections for this Indiana team. Of the six writers that I looked at, from ESPN to their Sporting News, College Football News, CBS Sports, and 247 Sports, Indiana's got three votes among those six writers for the Outback Bowl, which is in Tampa, Florida, January 2nd. By the way, one guy had him projected to play Kentucky, which would be pretty good in the Outback Bowl. The other three votes, Citrus Bowl, which is obviously another Florida bowl as well in Orlando. Someone had him picked to play against Georgia or Arkansas in the or Auburn in the Outback Bowl or the Citrus Bowl, excuse me. So Florida bowls, after New Year's bowls, Indiana's headed down that path, and you want to see a real jump in the bowl game scenario. Let's see what happens on Saturday if Indiana could find a way to beat Ohio State. That could send things through the roof as well. A couple other things, switching to basketball, some recruiting update. Mason Miller, a 2021 player, he announced over the weekend he's down to final two. Indiana and Creighton are his final two. He's been on the Creighton campus already, not visited Indiana in person. Going to have an IU virtual visit on Monday, according to Tipton Edits. And here's the thing. You know, Indiana's got Logan Duncombe in its 2021 class, signed, sealed, delivered. That's the only player signed, the only commitment as of now they have. Mason Miller, one of a handful of players that Indiana's really, really tracking. You would think the common sense thought is, okay, Indiana and Creighton, he's going to go to Indiana. But I continue to hear from people that know a lot more about Mason Miller and a lot more about his recruiting than what I do, and they say they think he'll go to Creighton. So it could be setting Indiana up for missing another 2021 player after missing a few weeks ago on Trey Kaufman. Just passing along what I'm hearing, not saying that ultimately he won't pick Indiana, not saying Indiana doesn't have a chance, but people that know his situation a lot better than me seem to think that Creighton ultimately is going to be where Mason Miller picks. Also, according to Inside the Hall, they spoke with the guardian of Aminu Muhammad, who's number 14 in the 247 composite for the 2021 class. And Sean Harmon, who is his guardian, said that there's not a firm date for the announcement, but all he could say is it will be very soon. So it sounds like we could be within a week, a couple weeks maybe, if you're saying soon, for a decision from Aminu Muhammad. Indiana seems to be solid there, but there are a number of schools in the mix for him. Keep in mind Texas, Georgetown, Louisville, Kansas State, Maryland, Oklahoma State, SMU, DePaul. He also has mentioned the G League before as an option, that new program they have for players coming straight out of high school and going to the G League, getting ready them for the NBA. So those are all possibilities. So, you know, as we sit here right now in the 2021 class, the two most talked about players, I'm not sure that I'm ultra confident that either of them, based on what I read here from others, are going to ultimately wind up at Indiana. So we'll see how it plays out. There are some other names in the mix, but kind of waiting to hear more on some of those other players. There was an update over the weekend from Isaac McNeely. He's a 2022 player, a guard, 6'4", 170 pounds. He's from Poca, West Virginia. He announced a list of eight, so he's considering eight schools now. He's number 57 in the 2022 composite rankings by 247 Sports. His eight schools include Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisville, North Carolina, Purdue, Virginia, and West Virginia, according to 247 Sports. So Isaac McNeely, he's a coveted player in the 2022 class. He's got Indiana in his final eight as well. So we'll see how it plays out there. I know West Virginia's put their basketball season on hold also. So McNeely, unless he transfers or moves somewhere, doesn't look like he'll be playing high school basketball, at least for the foreseeable future, in the state of West Virginia. One other note, with a former IU great, Calbert Chaney, there's a report out there that he is going to become an assistant coach for the Indiana Pacers. He was with the G League affiliate of the Atlanta Hawks, but taking a step up to the NBA as an assistant coach. Of course, he worked under Jim Crews at Evansville. He worked under Tom Crean for a few seasons at Indiana as well before deciding to go the professional route. And he seems to be doing well because he's moving up now to the top level as an assistant coach with the Indiana Pacers. So cool to see Calbert coaching in his dream in the NBA, but cool to see him back in the state of Indiana as well with the Pacers. Also, a couple other headlines, or really more so notes that I want to pass along. I do think it's very interesting to see what's going on with college basketball scheduling. Obviously, it's now Monday. We're halfway through the month of November. We're almost to Thanksgiving. November 25th is the start of the season. We have no Big Ten schedule. We had said we thought we would get it last week, late in the week, and I've said if we don't get it by Wednesday, I'll be just stunned, but maybe we won't. Here's an example of how crazy that scheduling is. There's an event scheduled, a multiple team event for the Mohegan Sun, which is located in Connecticut. That event could fall apart maybe as soon as today. Iona, where Rick Pitino's at, they're out of the event. They've been on quarantine. Vermont announced over the weekend that they will be out and not return to play until December 18th because of some COVID-19 situations. Siena is another team that's supposed to play in that event, but they are in limbo right now as well, according to report. So you could very well see some of these multiple team events as 1, 2, 3 teams have issues or can't travel or are put on a halt because of COVID increases. You could just see some of these events absolutely cave. And then we realize that not having a Big Ten schedule, even this close to the start of the non-conference season, really isn't as crazy as what it sounds like in this just stupid, crazy time right now that we're in. And I think that that Mohegan Sun event and those issues just underscore how crazy college basketball scheduling is going to be. I think prepare yourself for a season where there's going to be schedules and changes and reschedules and changes within the same season, within the season, even once we get a printed schedule from the Big Ten Conference as well. A couple high school notes to close out this opening segment. Michigan, with some new orders from their state health department and governor, they have now suspended their fall tournament. So the football tournament immediately suspended. They'll hold in place where they're at. Winter sports also suspended. That includes basketball. So in the state of Indiana, to the north, to the north of Indiana, and in the state of Illinois to the west of Indiana, things are currently on hold with high school sports this winter, at least with basketball and some of the more contact sports. And we'll see how things play out here in Indiana. There still seems to be a big push to have the season, fans being restricted by health departments in a lot of counties. Clark County locally is an example of that, of a pretty tough restriction that is allowing right now very limited attendance, parents only for those events, household members only for those events. And so we'll see if other counties, including Floyd, end up adopting similar policies before or once the high school basketball season gets going. But in Michigan, things are on pause right now and look to be for the foreseeable future as well. Final note is Jeffersonville football. There's not a lot of great stuff to talk about coming out of their regional championship game on Friday night down at Castle. Castle built a 14-0 lead, won the game 49-7. But just a hats off to Jeffersonville. They had a lot to overcome, some injuries, other things this season. COVID-19, of course, an issue for every team and every coach. They got through it. They didn't have the best start. Their schedule was screwed up. They were still able to finish the year strong, and they really got it going in the tournament. Just overmatched by Castle. But what a great experience for Jeff. A great close to the season despite the loss against Castle. Fun seeing this team come alive. And I think that we all would have lost money if we would have placed bets on who would be the last Clark and Floyd County high school football team standing. I'm not sure we thought it would be Jeffersonville, but hey, that's what makes it fun. And congratulations to Isaac Parker and the Red Devils on a great season and just a fantastic sectional, just a great few weeks for that Jeffersonville football program. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Monday edition of the program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We'll talk some IU football and get into some basketball stuff a little bit later in this segment. Don't forget, coming up later, we have Matt Weaver of Pigs.com as we'll talk more IU football and start to think about the Ohio State game on Saturday. But, Zach, I just want to really open it up to talk and get your impressions on this IU football team. It's a 4-0 season, a 4-0 start to the season. They recorded I thought it would be a tough road win against a Michigan State team that beat Michigan earlier in the year. And Indiana really, I didn't think at times, played their best, played okay, but came away with a pretty easy win on the road in East Lansing.
You know, to be honest, we recorded our podcast last night, and I rewatched most of the game yesterday before I lost the link that I was using for it. But it felt like a game, and you know, when we have maybe the wider conversations about, you know, testament to, you know, the way Indiana has learned to handle success and learned to win, it felt, watching in real time, and it felt even more so watching back, like a game where Indiana almost was prepared to do, essentially exert just a minimum amount of effort required to win. And I mean that in the best way possible. It felt like a game that Indiana was, you know, frankly, so confident it was going to win that there was, you know, every effort was made not to overexert, not to over-scheme, not to put too much on film for Ohio State next week. Of course, Indiana comes away with a couple of injuries, you know, that's a concern, but you can't legislate for injuries in football. You know, it's a physical game. It's a violent game. You know that they're going to happen. But what you can do is not get too complicated in your concepts, you know, not dig too deep in your playbook. Stevie Scott still has, I think, 23 carries in this game, but you also see a lot of Samson James. You even see a little bit of Tim Baldwin, the freshman third stringer. Obviously, it's a game Indiana plays with a bit of a patchwork offensive line, and yet they only allow one sack early in the game. It just felt like a game that Indiana felt like it, you know, and I don't know, maybe Tom Allen would say different, maybe his coordinators would say different. It felt, watching it, like Indiana knew it was a game that it could win straight up without having to get too complex in its scheme and its play calling and its game planning. And therefore, it was a game that Indiana knew that it could win without maybe having to, again, exert too much effort, put too much on tape for Ohio State. And I think that's, you know, that's ultimately the way it played out. Indiana goes up 24-0 in the first half, doesn't score in the second half. But I believe Michigan State's longest drive, in fact, I know this, ended at the IU 38. So, you know, your defense, the worst thing your defense could have allowed would have been a 55-yard field goal attempt. That's, you know, that's a day that backs up maybe that confidence in saying, if you're Indiana, we don't need to work. We need to work hard to win this game, but we don't need to show anything we don't want to, do anything we don't want to have to do it.
Final IU football topic I want to cover with you. We'll get to some more later in the show, but boy, Ty Freifogel, what a great game he had. I saw just before we came on the air, he was named Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week. 200-yard performance at Michigan State. No surprise he garners that honor this week.
No, not at all. I mean, certainly not a surprise. You know, one of the interesting sort of subplots, probably the wrong word, one of the layers of questions I had about Indiana's offense coming into this season was that, you know, basically, were Michael Penix and Ty Freifogel really going to be able to get the best out of one another? And I don't think it was, you know, I think you can, you know, there's maybe a question of correlation versus causation when you analyze last season, but most of Freifogel's best games, and he had a few big ones, in 2019, came when Peyton Ramsey was behind center. You know, you wondered, could that same chemistry in such a chopped up off season, you know, manage to kind of get going between those two guys? Well, now in these last 2 weeks, what is it? It's something like 20 catches for, you know, over 300 yards, three touchdowns. Obviously, last weekend, 200 yards and a pair of scores for Fry Fogle. You feel really good about that, because I think the one thing you did see Indiana do to Michigan State was really open up the entire field. You know, we saw Michael Penix make a couple of great boundary throws to Fry Fogle, a couple of great boundary throws to Miles Marshall. So now all of a sudden, whether you're Ohio State or anyone else getting ready for Indiana, you know suddenly you have to respect a quarterback that can make just about every throw on the field, and you've got to respect a group of receivers and tight ends that can hurt you. You know, I mean, it's sort of, do you double cover Ty Freifogel? Because if you do, you're probably giving something up against Watt Fillier. You know, all of a sudden, by the way, there's Miles Marshall on the other side of the field. I think he's got a catch in every game he's appeared in this season. He's got at least one touchdown. What do you do with him? It just starts to get, you know, these are the conflicts that a good offense puts into a defense's mind. And obviously it's a big day for Freifogel Saturday. But what that does is it says to someone, an opponent like Ohio State, this guy can really hurt you. And if you're prepared to maybe pay him undue attention, you know Watt Fillier can hurt you as well. You know Miles Marshall can hurt you. You know Peyton Hendershot can hurt you. We haven't seen Indiana shy at all about using the running backs in the passing game and things like that. So I think it's a fascinating, you know, just sort of, it's fascinating to watch the offense develop, essentially. And I think that's kind of what, you know, what is really the question you ask about Indiana heading into what it should be said. Looks like a more difficult second half of the season. Ohio State, Wisconsin, a good Purdue team, a Maryland team that might be better than we think. These layers are going to be important for Indiana.
Looks like, Zach, we've got a little breaking news. I was getting ready to flip to basketball with you, but this news will push us there right now. The NCAA has announced that they are relocating the 2021 Division I Men's Basketball Championship sites all to Indianapolis. And a quick part overview says the Division I Men's Basketball Committee has decided the NCAA tournament should be held in a single geographic area. As a result, NCAA staff are in preliminary talks with the state of Indiana and the city of Indianapolis to potentially host the 68-team tournament around the metropolitan area during the coordinated dates in March and April. It sounds like a bubble of sorts for the NCAA tournament over a number of weeks could be coming to our state.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm processing this as we talk. But I think that the thing that I'm about to tweet is what I'd tell you. It's huge. It shouldn't be totally unexpected. And, you know, the reality of this is that Indiana, let's use Indiana as the example, because obviously the NCAA is in Indianapolis and you know, that's the relationship there is strong. But the idea of putting the tournament all in one place, you know, the risk that you run if you're the NCAA, if we get to March, we get to April, and we're still concerned about COVID and the vaccine, you know, we've gotten, it should be said, some really good vaccine news in the last, you know, few days. But at the same time, if you spread the tournament out across the country the way that it normally is, you run the risk of localized sites. You know, something gets shut down because of a local government ordinance, or there's a big outbreak, or whatever it may be. And you just can't run that risk. If you put it all in one place, okay, you know, you're, I guess in one way you're risking that place having a terrible outbreak, but if you put it all in one place, you can manage the entire thing. You know, if that makes any sense, like you have much greater control over your protocols, you know, where you house your athletes, where you play your games, what the rules are around cleaning and sanitation. And as you said, you know, do you put people in a bubble, that sort of thing? It just makes the most sense. And I think Indianapolis makes a lot of sense for a variety of reasons. It's an easy city to get to. You know, you've obviously got a ton of facilities in the area that can handle games, not least, of course, Lucas Oil Stadium, where it should be said the Final Four was already scheduled to take place. Again, you have a strong relationship between the city and the NCAA that's well, you know, sort of well established. I mean, it makes an awful lot of sense to me. And I know a lot of people are asking the question of, well, when is the college basketball season? You know, can we be sure we're even going to get to that point with, you know, a lot of teams shut down and schedules not released, whatever. I get that. But in the meantime, somebody's got to be planning for this. You know, I think there are going to be a lot of people that say, well, you know, why are you worried about this when we need to figure out how to make the season work? Somebody's got to be worried about how the season ends. And that's the NCAA. And that's what a move like this is for.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us again. The NCAA just announcing that they are going to move basically the entire NCAA tournament to Indianapolis over the corresponding weekends that it typically is scheduled. Thinking about Indianapolis, I've sure said this before on this show. I think we've talked about it. These multiple team events that are being built, and actually some of them having problems right now. Indianapolis was a big possibility for some of those as well. Zach, obviously we're jaded because of our connections to the state and the ease for us, and it's not going to make a difference for fans and things because it's going to be, I'm sure, shut down to fans. But I can't think of a better place to host a tournament when you think about facilities and the ability to play games and have first-class facilities to host games with or without fans. Indianapolis has to be at the top of the list when you look at all the great facilities that exist, the arenas that exist, the basketball-specific facilities that exist. I don't think anyone can come close to what Metropolitan Indianapolis has to put forth.
Well, and I think you also – I mean, listen, I think you also you also want to talk about things like hotels, you know, and Indy's obviously got a not just a lot of hotels, but it's got a great sort of convention center, you know, convention type infrastructure. Like there are a lot of, starting with but not limited to Indy Sports Corp, there are a lot of entities within the city of Indianapolis that are really good at coordinating the logistics of bringing a lot of people into the city for a specified event, moving them around functionally. Think about, you know, I mean, Future Farmers of America. I think there's at least a couple of comic book conventions, you know, and then of course, yes, we talk about the NCAA tournament. We talk about, you know, the Big Ten championship game, things like that. Like Indianapolis is a good city for big events. Now, who knows where we're going to be at with fans? You would imagine that there's a decent chance we won't see fans, at least not in any major numbers at these games. We'll see. We'll see where things are by the time we get to, you know, March and April. But one way or another, you're just talking about a city that is good at this sort of thing. Not just, and you're right about the facilities, but not even just the facilities. Thinking about all of the logistics of what it's going to take to execute something like this. If you really are going to bring, you know, 68 teams in and play three weekends of games and whatever that looks like, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. And it's interesting. I don't know. Are you coming into the bubble? Let's get some Shapiros in the bubble. Can we maybe get Ram Brewery inside the bubble somehow? I don't, you know, we all going to be at the JW Marriott. I have no idea, but, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And like I said, there's a bunch of other things that need to happen here to get this season off smoothly. But at the same time, somebody, and really it is the NCAA because this is the NCAA's tournament. Somebody needs to figure out how this ends. We can't get to February and then say, okay, how are we going to do the tournament? Because at the end of the day, that's a huge logistical challenge. And it makes sense for a lot of reasons to put this, you know, this sort of thing in Indianapolis and put it together in Indianapolis, quite frankly.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Closing subject, the Big Ten schedule. You know, we don't have it. We thought maybe last week would be the week. I would still be shocked if there's not something out by Wednesday. But then as we just get this news today that the NCAA tournament's shifting to one location, I read earlier a headline today that there's at least one multiple team event that could fall apart today because of teams dropping out because of their own COVID problems. You start to think, you know what, there's going to be so many changes this year. Games are being canceled already. We're still a week and a half or so from the season. I get it why the Big Ten schedule's not out, and I think we're just so used to having it so early. It's something that we all pinpoint. We like to circle certain dates, look at the tough stretches. We know the Big Ten's going to be really good, so there's extra anticipation to see what the conference looks like. But if you step back from it and you realize where we're at with this pandemic and trying to play, it's reasonable to think that we don't have it yet and still may not have it this week. Who knows?
I mean, it's got to happen at some point. I mean, it does feel like we're getting to a point where you sort of say, hey, it needs to happen soon. The one thing I will say is when you see individual schools scheduling non-conference games, that tells you that, and I'm not talking about the Maui Invitational and the Cancun challenges. When you see the individual schools holding non-conference or scheduling non-conference games, that's a signal to me that they at least have some idea of what's coming from the conference. Even if we don't necessarily, the conference has given them the green light to say, hey, these dates, you may need to reserve these. Don't schedule anything for this time, but you're open here. Like, for example, I think Indiana's, I believe, is scheduled to play, is it December 9th, the ACC Big Ten Challenge at Florida State. And then according to North Alabama's schedule, they're scheduled to play North Alabama at home on December 13th. So what does that tell you? In the last few years, as the Big Ten pivoted to a 20-game schedule with two games in December, those games were always sandwiched right in after or right in around the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Well, now we know that we're not going to be seeing conference games coming right after the Big Ten Challenge because there are conference teams scheduling non-conference games for that stretch. And so my point is the teams at least know more than what we know. And so I think you at least would imagine that, you know, the people that need to know at least roughly what the schedule is going to look like do. Still, I think it would give everybody some peace of mind if they could just lash that thing out and let's go forward.
Absolutely. By the way, before I let you go, I just saw your tweet, West Lane Middle School. I'm not sure that everyone will understand that, but as a guy that's been to a lot of AAU tournaments at North Central over the years and run some there myself as well, very familiar with those fine facilities at West Lane Middle School. You joked on Twitter about them hosting a round or some of the matchups of the NCAA tournament, which is all in just fun. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're referencing there. Good one.
Yeah, we used to joke that we could hold the Big Ten tournament like an AAU tournament. And, you know, Victor Oladipo wouldn't make it to the Friday game because he had prom. And, you know, a couple guys jumped from Penn State to a mid-major because they wanted a little bit more exposure. And, you know, but no, I mean, obviously we don't know what facilities are being talked about, but between Hinkle Fieldhouse, you know, Lucas Oil, Bankers Life, you know, presumably something. I mean, even thinking about, like, could you use IUPUI? Could you use University of Indianapolis? Would you go for any of the bigger gyms in the city, bigger high school gyms in the city? I think that could be a little bit more logistically challenging. Like, how do you keep people out of an NCAA tournament game at North Central? I think that could be hard. Who knows? Maybe we play two games at once, you know, do it like the old AAU. We just drop a curtain in the middle of Lucas Oil Stadium when we just play two games, one on each side of the curtain simultaneously. You got, you know, Kansas, UC Irvine over here. You got a 5-12 on the other side, and you just get to run back and forth between them. But it'll be interesting. Yeah. Strange times we live in.
Interesting times ahead. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
We'll head to a commercial break, come back, more IU football. We'll start to think about this big Ohio State-IU game coming up on Saturday. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, he covers football for the Pig site. He joins us next. Indianapolis, I don't know who's going to be able to go or what it's going to look like or where it's going to be, but going to be interesting to see our state and our capital city get the opportunity to host all of the NCAA tournament, it sure looks like, in men's basketball this year. That news coming out just earlier here in the hour. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're a little behind after the breaking news that the NCAA tournament, likely all of it, going to be played in Indianapolis this year. Well, I assume some sort of bubble-type environment coming our way for March Madness, but good to see plans are being made to get the tournament in one way or another this season. We'll close today with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. We'll spend a few minutes talking more IU football. And of course, we talked some with Zach earlier in the program, but Matt, I really want to spend some time early here in this week talking about where Indiana football is at historically. What a great start this is. Wins over Michigan State and Penn State for the first time together in the same season ever. And, of course, now the biggest challenge of the year coming up for Indiana as they will play Ohio State on Saturday. Of course, this Ohio State game, if somehow, some way, Indiana could get it done, could pull the upset, this would send the program to a whole nother level. But Indiana has worked hard to put itself in this place for a 4-0 record against 4-0 Ohio State, and Saturday should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's a season like, you know, Indiana football fans or Indiana fans haven't seen, I guess, ever. With what they've done and the accomplishments that they've been able to make so far. But this is a different animal. It's Ohio State team. Offensively, we talked about them in the past. They're, Justin Fields is arguably, the best player, at least definitely in the discussion for the best player in the country. He'll be a Heisman finalist, and he's just outstanding. And they got great skill players, and their offensive line, has got some next level type of guys. Defense was a little bit rebuilt after last year, but it's definitely a ton of talent, and it's going to be. Should be a lot of fun. It'll be interesting to see, how Indiana can do going over there. You don't have the crowd, so you don't have to worry about that. But obviously, you still got the talent and everything that Ohio State brings to the table. So it's going to be a heck of a challenge.
How big of a favorite, Matt, do you think Ohio State is and will be in this game as we head into Saturday?
I think the lines come out, and I want to say they're around 3 touchdowns. It probably depends on, the different betting sites or casinos or whatever, but I think they're right around 21, 22, 23. It probably just depends on where you're looking, but that's not really shocking. They're going to pretty much be that kind of a favorite against everybody on their schedule this year. And against some teams, it'll be obviously, significantly more than that. But I'm sure there's not very many people or 50 people outside of the Indiana program that are giving the Hoosiers much of a chance, but that's why you play the games. We'll see what happens.
As Indiana gets ready for Ohio State later this week, what's the injury situation? We know the deal with Thomas Allen, or we have an idea of the deal with Thomas Allen, and it's pretty severe, and perhaps you'll learn more today when Coach Allen has his press availability. But how does Indiana stack up injury-wise, health-wise? In this day and age, we've got to say, as it stands now, who knows what unfolds this week with either team as far as COVID goes. But where does Indiana stand with injuries and things like that getting ready for this game?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Thomas Allen injury, that looks obviously pretty serious. Anytime a guy gets carted off, that's obviously not a good thing for his future availability, at least in the near future. So I would expect him to be out. Obviously the shortened season, there's not many games left. I mean, it could be a season-ending injury. They have not said what it was. It looked like a leg. Caleb Jones did not play on Saturday. There was no Coach Allen was asked after the game about him. He didn't give any specifics. So not really sure on his availability going forward, if it's an injury or hopefully it's not COVID-related, but, there was nothing given there. And then Cam Jones, the linebacker, got hit up in the basically almost under the chin, like up in the face mask. It actually was a targeting penalty on Michigan State, and I think the player was ejected on a kick return. And he didn't. I don't think he came back. Now, if it's concussion-related, then there's just no timetable. Some guys – you know, get out of the concussion protocol sooner than others, and some it takes a week or two. So we've seen that in the past with IU athletes. Those three right now are the only ones that I know of. And then they got David Ellis back for the Michigan State game. Now, they limited his snaps, but it was good to see him back out on the field and making some plays. So, you know, overall, I think they're relatively healthy. Like you said, you don't know what can happen in these 3 or 4 days before the game. But right now, it seems like they're relatively healthy. Hopefully, they can get Cam Jones back and also Caleb Jones. And those guys can be back in the lineup. But, you know, I'm sure nothing will be said specifically about their availability today, but maybe we'll get a better idea of where they're at.
Big Ten this year, still great that Indiana's 4-0. They've won some big games, but I think we're beginning to see as the season unfolds a bit that this typically really, really tough division that Indiana is in, it's really Indiana and Ohio State this year when you look at records and results so far.
Yeah, I mean, they're the on this side of the division, the east side of the division, they're the only undefeated teams. You got Northwestern on the west side, and, the Maryland matchup with Ohio State over the weekend would have been interesting because they had a couple of nice, games, at least offensively, against Minnesota and Penn State. And, but they had a COVID outbreak, and we'll see what happens with them the next couple of weeks. Indiana's due to play them the week after the Ohio State game, so, less than 2 weeks. So if they have some players out, they could be out for that Indiana game. But obviously, Michigan, got whipped pretty good by Wisconsin, and obviously we saw what Indiana did to Michigan State, and then Rutgers lost at home, and then Penn State is just that's a head scratcher. I hate to say this from afar, but it looks like they just kind of started to mail it in a little bit. I mean, that first half against Nebraska was really a poor performance. Just didn't really play hard. Now they came on the second half, but. Right now, Indiana and Ohio State, Northwestern and Wisconsin on the other side, they kind of look like the class of the field.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Matt, thanks for the quick chat. Looking forward to this weekend already. We'll talk with you again soon.
Okay, take care, guys.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com with us to wrap up this Monday program. That'll do it for today. We'll be back Tuesday at 11 a.m. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins, as does Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. And don't forget Tuesday night, 6 p.m., Night of Champions, honoring Providence boys soccer as we celebrate their 1A state championship from a few weeks ago. That show presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. It'll air at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. Thanks for being with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.